Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. Today's show is going to be Still and Know That I Am God. You know, when this is applied as an active force in our life, it can bring about positive results in healing, in relationship issues, understanding life's everyday struggles, and give us endless possibilities. So we invite you to join us here on Angel Talk, sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. I would like to share a little prophecy with you at this time through the Divine Holy Trinity. Blessings to all of you. We are grateful to be one with you, to help you understand and grow, and to be able to embrace the many, many areas of life that there may be questions in. We want to share with you that you are in a special time, particularly this month of August, where you have many alignments. And one very particular one is the alignment with Sirius. This star is one that brings a lot of higher knowledge into the planet. It brings the amount of light from the ancient ones into it. It allows us growth and opportunity to understand some of our higher purposes, to realize that these energies unlock doors and gateways within our soul that brings us into a higher level of awareness. It helps us to put the dots together in combination so that it makes a picture that makes sense for you, to understand this oneness with the all. It also does many other things. The strength and power of this light will take and push away density from areas. It will open the doors for a lot of opportunities, but it also pushes and moves energies into other locations. In doing that, it causes things to happen that have to realign themselves. And in this realignment, it causes movements within the planet, movements in the plates of the planet. And it causes earthquakes that can erupt to have different regions of the earth where there are problems, energetic problems that have been holding and embracing different levels of light in them. And it opens that up so that more light can get into these weaker areas on the planet. It will cause eruptions in the volcanoes so that it can purify and cleanse the whole internals of the planet. And you're going to see over this month, next month, and even the following month, some extreme activities concerning the activities of water, wind, earthquakes, and volcanic activities. These extreme events could cause pressures to push certain regions of the plates in different directions. We say to you that hold your truth and love for God and know that in this oneness with God, you will be shown directions to go and what to do. Feel the inner peace and oneness of God, and it will protect you to know that you are one with the all. We are grateful, and we hope that each of you take the time each day to go within and know that connection with the divine beings of light. And blessings to you.
You know, Sandy, in the Holy Scriptures, it does say that, it was said by God, you know, my spirit will not always dwell with man. And, you know, I used to ponder that so much. And yet I came to realize, of course, that the Holy Spirit is what will be available in the earth, because there'll be so much warring and so much, you know, confusion that, you know, most people won't be able to hear the word of God. They won't be able to, you know, be still enough to know. And yet the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is within you, you have already asked that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Trinity, but the Holy Spirit, you know, be within you and fill your heart to overflowing with love. Then, you know, when everything else was in chaos, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as Jesus would have called the Holy Spirit, will be available to you. I personally couldn't imagine going through what, you know, what is called for in the Revelation, you know, in the Acts, the book of Acts, you know, going through some of those things and not having the Holy Spirit, you know, walk with you, because, you know, it's called that great and terrible day. That should give you a clue. It also tells us in the scriptures that we shouldn't, you know, even if we believe that we are, you know, where we should be and doing what we should be doing and we're ready, we still should not, you know, be glad and hope for it and ask that it come any sooner than it has to, because it's not going to be, you know, a fun day for some. And you will have to view it. And even if you're ready, others may not. It may be a family member that is not, and you are. And so it is that great and terrible day. And the thing about it is that now's the time. You know, we have not ever been given a better time to be able to reach the hearts of people. You know, I realize that I can talk to 3 or 4 people and talk about scripture, talk about things that are biblical, things that are, you know, in our everyday lives and ways that we can cope with them. And I can tell that more than likely all of them, if there were 4 of them, that each one heard it differently. They heard it how they needed to hear it. What part of their lives needed to be brought into alignment? You know, what part of their activities in the day needed to be brought into alignment? And, you know, it's just, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody spoke French and they heard it in French. And that's the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the reactions of the people each are different. And so, you know, none of them tell me, well, I heard it this way, I heard it this way, in front of another person. Now, one may come one by one and say, oh, I know that was meant for me. It hit me right. It was right exactly what I needed to know today. You know, and another one will come and say the same thing. But when they tell me what they heard, it's always different. But it was what they needed. And that's the key to it. You know, when you go out there and you're telling a loved one, and you may say, oh, my family, they're just not into it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be preached to. You know, I even had a government official tell me, don't preach to me. You know, hey, you know, you should at least give it the chance. I mean, it's only, even if it's only a minute or two, you know, you should allow that, you know, to be recognized, looked at, you know, and reject it outright if you want to. Or maybe there's a kernel of something in there that you could use. And, you know, when you reject it outright, well, number one, you lose any opportunity that you could gain something from it. And you're not giving any power or any sovereignty to the individual who may have shared it with you. You know, they're human too, and they're trying their best to make it, you know, to the same place that all Christians believe that they're headed. And so the idea here is that, you know, for those of you who are afraid to walk up to someone and just start talking and speak about the love of God to somebody out and out, you know, because you feel like, well, they won't listen to me. They don't want to hear my truth, you know. And how many times have we heard that? You know, well, that's your truth. Well, there's only one truth. That's just the way it is. There's only one truth. Now, we may speak it, you know, in different ways or, Maybe even our understanding is a little different, or maybe the way we wish to look at it is different, but that doesn't mean that the truth itself is different. The truth is not different. There is one truth. And, you know, growing towards truth, the immediate truth, you know, is what we're here for. And it may take us a little while. Others have pretty much made it there. But, you know, for you who are the ones that have to walk up to the family member and say, you know, I mean, I know you're an atheist, but, you know, I mean, and you speak your truth, and it doesn't matter whether they agree with you. They may even get angry at you because families, if you try to change something that has always been, you know, down through the years, and you try to change it just by even speaking something, or you change the way you're living it, then everyone in the immediate family has to view their own truth for yours, to see if yours is right versus what they have always held on to. That's why you'll hear among families too often, you know, them say, well, that's just the way it's always been, you know, or, you know, well, when I was a child and I went to church, they just read the passage from the Bible. They didn't really talk about it or explain it or, you know, or go into it. I mean, there wasn't any of that that went on. Well, think about it. I mean, can you really accept that? Or is it just too easy? You know, even the fact that, you know, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and the Christ and you're saved and, you know, it's set. You don't have to worry about anything else. Well, I hate to tell you this, but the devil believed in Jesus. Believed in him big time. And so did the demons that he cast out of the people that were possessed. And so the dark has no power whatsoever unless you give it to him. The darkness and the dark beings are all spiritual form. They have no material form, so they can only use yours if you let them. And that's the key to it all. And too often, we're too easy. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that people tell me, well, I had some healing work done last week, and, you know, and it was done through this person, and it was from a higher being. And I'm like, well, what was the higher being's name? Well, I don't know, just a higher being. Well, how do you know it was a higher being? How do you know it wasn't a trick? I mean, you know, they're pretty good at tricks, the dark side, because they've been doing it for too long, way too long. And so because they have no restoration of life force within them, they have to feed off of yours. And so if they can get you to agree to let them, you know, work on your energy fields or the energy fields of your body, well, you know, you really think that they're going to, you know, make sure that you're taken care of and helped, or are they going to help themselves? Too often, huh, on this planet, as we look back across our lives, me, you, everybody, how often, you know, did we do things that we really didn't stop to think about? You know, am I sure that this is God's will? Am I sure that this is going to bring about the glory of God? Am I sure that and comfortable enough that I can speak it out loud, regardless of whether anybody else believes it or not, and not self-judge either, and just walk on? It will prove itself. That's the beauty of it all. That's the promise of God. My spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And how often are we doing it? You know, 20 years ago we said, you know, well, I should prophesy more. I should, you know, talk to people about God more. You know, and then 10 years ago, well, we said the same thing. And then 2012 came around and you had the stirring of some, you know, you thought, this is it. I better get going. Really? You waited until 2012? And now it's 2024. And man, the signs are all around us. You want to see signs? Give me a call or an email, and I'll email you a picture of a planetoid that is in our sky. That is, you can see it plain. I mean, every piece of it, you can see. And it's massive. And it just happened to be passing through our atmosphere, you know, when I took the picture. It's got the date behind it and everything because the news was on. And I don't even think the girl knew it was there. And so it's got the news station in the whole nine yards. And I took the photograph. And it's clear as day. But when people see it, they go, oh, no, that might be the moon. I thought, well, right there's the sun. You're saying that could be the moon? And they're saying, well, it could be. And I said, well, then what's that great big white chunk of stuff at the bottom of it that looks like concrete? Yeah, I've never seen that on the moon before. I know, me neither. So why are we questioning that this could happen? You know, all possibilities. And God sends us the possibilities when the time is right. And too often we want to explain them away. Why? Why would we explain something like that away? I mean, God is God. And, you know, is there anything too great, anything too spectacular, anything too amazing? I mean, we all watched the, you know, the blotting out of the sun, solar eclipse. But did we notice that the moon that blocked it out came from the west? Its trajectory went right up from the west coast all the way up to the East Coast, and people were able all along the route to watch it occur. Wow. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But did anybody question, why did the moon come up in the West? Well, I sat out here on the porch one night and took photographs of the moon. It would come up about 15 degrees, more south than east, but it would come up, and it would come up about 15 to 20 degrees at max. And it sat there all night long, and by morning, then it went down. But I mean, it went back down in the east, never did cross the sky. And I sat out there and took photographs of it all night long just to prove it, you know, because, you know, all people have to do if they hear something like that is to keep track of it. And it doesn't happen every night. I've noticed that it has to do with the tilt of the earth, I believe. But, you know, from what Sandy and I have studied for 25 years or so, I mean, you know, it seems that there are times when something pushes or pulls on our solar system and it causes a tilt in the earth. And when there's tilt difference, it can cause a lot of differences in the weather patterns, you know, in, you know, where the sun comes up, where the moon comes up. I mean, just the other day, the sun come up in the far east, and I was amazed. That's the first time I've seen that in a while. So we must have been somewhat balanced. But I've seen the moon come up in the west more than once. I would say probably well more than a dozen times, and set in the east. Full moons, quarter moons, doesn't matter. But you don't know when. You know, then the tilt might correct itself and everything seems to be normal again. But, I mean, it was so clear to me that I had to run in and look at the calendar just to make sure. That is supposed to be a quarter moon tonight, right? You know, and it was supposed to be a quarter moon. But when it came up in the west, it wasn't a quarter moon. It was a half moon. And so I ran back to the calendar and looked again, and it said half moon. So time is altering. Time is changing. You can feel it. I mean, you can walk from one room to the next, and all of a sudden you realize that, what is that? What's going on here? You know, something's not quite right. You lay something down. You know where you laid it. Can't find it. You look everywhere. You may even look in the freezer to see if you might have put it in there, and you can't find it anywhere. It's only when you sit down and you just give up. Be still and know that I am God. And if you say those words and just sit down and be still and know that God is God, all of a sudden, you'll get back up. And where you knew you left those keys, guess what? There they are. Because time is not a constant right now. And that's one of the signs that we're supposed to look for. I mean, you know, again, even just the words, be still and know that I am God. You know, this is an active force. It is not passive. You know, it can bring healing, relationship issues, understanding life's everyday struggles, as we put in the notice. It has endless possibilities. And sometimes the only way to get to them, or to be able to have access to them, is to sit down and quiet ourselves long enough that God can change the frequencies of our vision, of our bodies, of our knowledge, our understanding, and miracles happen. And, you know, right now is the time. It is now, and it is not very far off that we're going to see some major changes. You know, we were told by the Holy Trinity that God had decided to lift up, you know, above the chaos, everybody. And if you have illnesses, they'll fall away because they cannot survive in that higher vibration. And it will give you, because I complain all the time about people who can barely push their shopping buggy. And how can that person really be spiritual, you know, or even think about spiritual things when you're in such pain, you know, you can hardly stand it. And they said that God is going to lift everyone up just enough that the illnesses fall away. They fall down. They cannot retain that higher frequency. You will still somewhat be in the same third dimension, but you'll know the difference. And it will give everyone a chance to know that God is God. And it will give everyone the chance to, you know, to praise God and turn towards God and away from everything else. And when I say everything else, I mean everything else. There is nothing else right now, really, that should be more important than making sure that we are giving God the glory and that we are walking that straight and narrow path, not left, not right, straight and narrow path that God is walking with us. And along the way, you'll see the little miracles happen. Sometimes they're big miracles, but it's the little miracles along the way, because we're running out of time. You know, I was told by a friend of mine just the other day on the phone that they have already sheared off the top of the Allegheny Mountains up in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. And it was just horrible. And then they were drilling into the side of the mountain. But stretching that whole area of Berkeley Springs, they had ripped off the top of the mountain. Now, you know, we don't see that on the news, do we? And yet, how often do we keep in touch with each other when things like that happen? How often do we say, maybe it's time that we sit down and know that God is God and be quiet and listen and know what we're supposed to do, or even pray as a group when two or more are gathered. But when 10 or more are gathered, or when 100 more are gathered, when 1,000 are gathered, more and more and more can be done. And, you know, whether it be a Saturday, you know, when the Hebrews have their Sabbath, or when, you know, the Christians are praying in their churches, you know, you and everybody you know can have a time frame where you pray along with them, whether you're in a church service or not, and you ask that your prayers be added to their prayers all across the world and be lifted up to the very throne of God. And then be still and know that God is God.
Absolutely. Well, be still and know that I am God. When we talk about being still, it can take some practice to do this. You can try deep breathing to help quiet the mind. You know, it may take about 30 or more breaths like this to begin to work. You know, remember, When random thoughts enter, it is best just to let them pass through and then refocus again on quieting yourself mentally. This stillness can open up areas for you in your creativity and allow a relaxing, healing feeling to take place. It's best when beginning this process to be as comfortable as possible, like loose-fitting clothes, they're at best. You know, you can sit, you can lie down, or you can even be walking. Sometimes in the beginning, it's best to stick with sitting or lying down. If you tend to fall asleep when you're lying down, then maybe sitting is a better idea. Try to sit comfortably, but having your back as close to being straight as possible. If it hurts to sit straight, then just sit in the most comfortable way possible. The idea is to try to not have to focus on your physical body and be able to allow yourself to reach a higher spiritual level of awareness. Also, it is to prepare yourself so you can let go of the physical consciousness and move your mind into the spiritual or the universal consciousness. Here, we'll be able to connect with a higher level of awareness and be guided constructively on what it is we're looking for. It's best to try to release any feelings of judgment against others, selfish thoughts or desires. Let them go. What we're trying to do is connect to God's will. God's always ready and there for us at all times. What we're working to try to do is clear any obstacles that may stop our creative energies from allowing us to reach our highest potential. Sometimes, by saying affirmations or praying, it can open us up to higher levels of awareness. When we say affirmations, we're expressing our connection to the creative forces. It helps us to become more connected and one with a higher power than ourselves. We're trying to open a channel of energy within our body that unites with this higher energy so it will fill us and unite us with its light and love. Edgar Casey would always use a passage from Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." When we choose an affirmation, a prayer, a mantra, or even a word that is sacred to us, and we focus on it while we are in meditation, it will help us project our energies into a spiritual level more easily. Now, toning sacred chants is a wonderful way to attune our vibrations to a higher spiritual level. In almost every culture, there are powerful chants that connect us to a God consciousness. And when chanting, it can open the doors of awareness to higher levels of light to fill our body and awaken our mind and soul. The sacred names of God are always a wonderful way to give praise and gratitude to the divine. One of our favorites is the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Adonai Sabayat, meaning holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. So we use this on a regular basis daily, and it has powerful effects. Do it with humbleness when you do it. When we're looking at raising the body's energies, or that of the Kundalini forces, working with the seven primary endocrine centers or chakras, this can open the energy path for the Kundalini forces to move up through the body. And when raising the energies through the body, hold the intention that not thy will, O God, but thine be done. You see, by holding this intention, you'll gain vision, perception, and good judgment. When I've been in groups of people who are all chanting sacred chants, the energies that are generated are so powerful. They invoke almost a tingling or enormous amount of love feeling within yourself, a greater feeling of connection to the creative forces. It is like the energies flow through each person, increasing as you continue to chant, and like you are being lifted to another level of awareness. One that is just so pure. We all become aware that life is all about vibrations. When attuned to the perfect flow of a universal vibration, we become one with it. It can then share all that it is about with our consciousness. So as long as we continue to stay in the vibration or stay attuned to God's perfect energies, we will always continue to receive this blessing. But life takes us in many directions and can create decisions that may not favor us and pull us away from this flow of life energy. And when we indulge in self-centered things, we can definitely lose our abilities to stay in that pure energy flow.
You know, Sandy, and one thing I wanted to add there too is that try singing a spiritual song, you know, as you're walking, you know, down your driveway or whatever, and you will notice that nothing negative can enter your mind.
And this is true.
You know, it keeps it away. If you find you're in confusion or something's going on that just causes you to be off kilter, then sing a song, you know, and preferably, you know, if you're going to listen to music, well, you know, the classical musics are more adept to the central nervous system. But if it's just, you know, if you want to just sing Christian music or hymns, I love the hymns, you know, and sometimes I know I sing them loud enough that people can hear me, you know, in some of the neighborhood houses. I don't care, you know. It's my way of praising God, and it's my way of remembering my childhood, you know, when I would sing them with my grandmother, who is now passed, and, you know, and it brings a comforting to the soul.
Oh,
and all the Psalms that were written, and Casey said that in reality, the entire Bible is in the Psalms, you know, in that one book. Mm-hmm. But it was approximately 10 different authors that wrote the Psalms, but they were always put to music.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the types of songs that were played and sang in your synagogues, in your temples, you know, in the ancient times, and they took the music away. Why? Why did they take the music out? I mean,
yeah,
common sense would tell you. Yeah, because it lowers the power. And if we still had it to music, and you can put it to music, put it to your own music, you know, and when you do, you will find that just singing a few verses even, it changes the way you feel inside. Because when there is warring in heaven, you know, as we call it the Armageddon, or there are, you know, beings on the earth that are, you know, attempting to influence you in a way that is negative, then, you know, by sing out loud, you know, it can be low. You don't have to, you know, belt it out on a corner or with a bullhorn, but
put emotion in it.
Yes.
Put heartfelt emotion
love
in it. That's what gives it power too.
Absolutely. And when you do, there's no being on the face of this earth that can have access to you.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Exactly.
And that's the key. Even one of my favorites, of course, is Psalms 23, you know, and it's funny how David goes through all of the different levels, you know, up and to down and all the way down and up and then back down again. And what he does is he goes through each of the points of the body in the endocrine system that are energetic. And those are the areas where we usually find problems. You know, we have either problems in our liver or problems in our solar plexus or heart trouble or whatever it may be. And especially the central nervous system. And that one psalm takes you through every part of it. Even the part where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, has anybody ever read that? And I know, you know, nobody's ever gone to church, you know, for any amount of time that they didn't hear that psalm. And if they did go to church and they didn't hear that psalm, shame on the preacher. But You know, it's telling you right there, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is that? That is the energy that runs up the spinal column. The head tilts back at 52 degrees. You'll feel it. It locks in place. And it is the same trajectory of the Sphinx of Egypt that is viewing the star in Orion, Sirius. And there's others, I mean, that other things that are sacred that have that same angle. But it is the shepherd's crook. Think about it. Runs up the spine and head tilts back. It runs up around the head and in through just above your eyes in about 2 inches. And there is a little hole there called the amygdala. And it, the energy and the love drops down to your heart. And it's thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. And I mean, it's giving it to us. It's just a rod and a staff. When this was written, was something most people had. But this day and age, you know, everything's mechanized. So nobody even thinks about what, you know, the rod and the staff would have to do with anything. But I mean, preparing a table before me in the presence of your enemies. My goodness gracious. I mean, how many times has that happened? I know it's happened to me quite a few times. And, you know, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Now, it doesn't say, you fill my cup, you know, or you almost fill my cup, or, you know, I feel much better. It says, my cup runs over. And when it does, it pours into the next, you know, section of the body that is spiritualized, and it runs over there and it's spiritualized. And the key to it is that it's like flow. What is flowing? I mean, flowing is used a lot in the Bible. And God is not the God of too little. God is not the God of not enough. God is not the God of, well, maybe just enough. You know, I mean, I hear people complain all the time. Well, you know, I wish I had a little more. I mean, you know, I'm, the house is starting to get old, and I wish I had a newer car, and the dog's on welfare. I mean, come on. I mean, if you follow the Psalms and you sing praise to God every day and breathe in through your nose, because the Bible says, and God breathed the breath of life into the man and he became a living soul. And that's what you want. You want not the physical, because the physical will never believe, you know, in much more than the fact that it can't control the breath or the heartbeat. And so it believes there's a higher power, but, you know, not much higher. Not much higher. And it will try in every step of the way to get around you without you seeing it. The key is the soul. Allow the soul to come forward. That's what the whole idea there is. And when it runs over, the soul comes forth. And the soul is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it lasts forever. It never dies.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know, Jesus came here to teach us the many ways to live our lives, to always know our connection to God, and ask when we're stuck or need help, to open our minds and to clear the path for us to do God's work while we're here. I believe that one of the fastest ways to reach a higher spiritual awareness is through meditation. When we realize that the outer world that we focus on is only one of the ways to understand life, the true answers we're looking for is when we go within and connect to the higher spiritual energies. Then we'll receive the answers we're looking for. It will also give you more creative abilities. Some of the most successful business people in the world meditate each day to receive insights on what all they should do to be successful. You see, meditation does not have to take hours when doing it. Sometimes even just a few minutes can give the answers you're looking for. But in meditation, you're letting the everyday stresses and worries behind you and taking a few minutes to clear the clutter and fog in your head and open up to higher levels of understanding. See, our brain fires signals all day long. And sometimes it's like it creates a nest of energy that's hard to pass through consciously. And by doing meditation, it will comb out the blocking nested energies and make a clear path to receive the information you've been looking for. There is no doubt that meditation is a powerful path to enlightenment. As higher levels of energy are coming into the planet, be it through cosmic, solar, stellar, it focuses us to grow consciously. In growing consciously, it means that we have to let go of the lower energies within us. Do you have within you any anger at someone or a grudge? Do you have depression or anxiety? Do you ever find yourself feeling jealous or greedy? Any of these energies within us has to be dealt with and released. So then room is made for the light to take its place. We may have to face situations if we cannot consciously say, I no longer want to hold on to this energy, and seriously mean that we're letting go of it. Forgiving people means just this load of heaviness has been lifted from you, and then God will forgive you for your sins. Each negative energy we choose to hold on to only means that it has pulled us into a level of lower vibration to deal with situations that may not be so pleasant. We are not to be a doormat for people, but we are meant to deal with our problems in a way that leads us into a positive outcome. When our heart is not at peace, it creates physical issues for you until you deal with them. Sometimes you may have to turn the issue over to God for help, but at least you're doing something active about the situation. Every day, it's important to realize that we are blessed to live another day, that we give praise and gratitude to the divine for all that we have and all the blessings that we're given. Being humble is what keeps us in good favor with God. We were given the opportunity to try to become mini gods for ourselves. So we chose to incarnate here, walk the physical world path back to spirit. Needless to say, it did not work out so easily as we had hoped it to be, and God recognized we needed help and sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to save us. Think about how many times you have heard people say, why am I here? The only way you will understand the answer to that question is when you can open up to the idea that we are not just physical beings, that we are connected to the spiritual realm also. It is our choice if we want to try to access the spiritual realm or not. When we do begin to work with the creative energies and connect to higher beings of consciousness, we understand that we want more of that. It gives us a feeling of hope and even freedom. You see, each person's experience in the spirit realm may be different. Some people, when they are meditating, may say, I saw colors, but didn't know what they meant. Others may say, I saw images, but didn't understand them. And some may say, I heard messages. Or maybe they may say they didn't experience anything like that, what we mentioned. It's okay if they didn't have some kind of a visual or audio experience. Eventually, they will. I have found that the many different types of frequencies that the world is dealing with can have an effect on how easily or hard it is to reach the higher levels of consciousness. With so many satellites and defense operations, artificial intelligence, electromagnetic pulses, high amplitude frequencies, and the Hadron Collider energies, just to name a few of them, it can make it more challenging to achieve the goals in meditation you're trying to reach. When I meditate, I try to go within to my heart space and connect to the spirit realm from there. It is said that the heart is the seat of the soul, where the secular and the sacred create a cross. If imposed across the physical body with our arms extended outward, the vertical energies going down our body and the other energies going across our arms, at that center point of the cross is our heart, the area that will take you into the spiritual realm. So by focusing on this area and asking to connect to the higher beings of light, you create an energy vortex that will connect you with a higher level of energy, its vortex, and lift you, allowing you to experience the many levels of higher consciousness. Now, dream states also can allow you to experience many levels of awareness But most people have a problem remembering their dreams. Our brain states slow as we move into theta and delta levels. Some people have mastered remembering their dreams, but it takes a lot of practice before achieving this level. And whether it be by visions and dreams or meditation, it is still all about understanding the multiple levels at which we're capable of reaching. That the physical level offers a limited view of the big picture. We have so many abilities that we can tap into, but most times we do not take the time to even explore them. We get so involved in the drama or self-fulfillment of daily living that we forget to take time to grow and explore our spiritual abilities. To realize that the real reason for coming to Earth was to master the abilities to grow into oneness back to God. To come from heaven to Earth, so to help evolve our physical self through spiritual means back to heaven. To see that we are all connected, but have choice in life. And that choice can disconnect us if we're not aware. Everything is about energy, frequencies, and light. The more light you hold, the purer your energies become and closer to God consciousness you become. To gain that ability is to have to be disciplined, to turn away from your selfish ways and become more loving, caring, and realizing the desires we have are usually not needs, just something that would pleasure us more. And that pleasuring yourself can put you into a massive debt, stress, worries, and pull you away from your true purpose of being a being or servant of God. There's no doubt that our ego wants to feel pleasure at least once in a while. And once you start giving into the ego, it is like a demanding energy that wants more and more and is never satisfied with what it has. It will compare you, you know, what you have with others and believe that you will never be happy unless you have more than your friends and neighbors. And it'll push you to work so many hours to make as much money as possible, even at the cost of your health and happiness. You get trapped in a cycle of greed. It becomes all about you and not about sharing with others or helping them. It pulls you further and further away from your spiritual self, yet justifying it in your mind. It is only when you can step back and view the big picture that you begin to realize you have trapped yourself in this way of living. Most times, this doesn't even feel that great anyway. So do not turn your back on God. Let him help you see the real purpose of life. Allow yourself to go within and feel the presence of his energies within you. When you do this, you begin to see the little things in life have as much importance as the big things. And as you feel the oneness with all life, that responds in a way that acknowledges you. Nature is the closest example of that. Where we live, it's in the country, the mountain area, and there are many nature creatures that come to our property, turtles, beautiful birds, deer, and many other creatures, and they have come to trust that we are not going to harm them, and the many stories we could tell you is endless. Would you consider them miracles? Well, maybe, but to us, it's all about being grateful of nature and the experiences we're allowed to have with it. The question is asked, how easy is it to have peace within yourself? It takes awareness and willingness to get to that point. We must have the courage of our convictions. We cannot say because I attend or listen to a church service that I can go out afterwards and do whatever I want to do. There is no shortcut to peace.
That includes this one.
That includes this one. Yeah. You cannot go against your own consciousness and be at peace with yourself or others and or God. It will not work.
And that is the only way to reach what you're talking about, to reach that state of calmness, that state of peace that passes all understanding. You know, those are written that way because it is above what typically you could experience on the earth. Mm-hmm. And you can only know it when you get it.
Yeah.
When you're there, you'll know it. And you'll realize that this is what I have always been waiting for. And I didn't even know, you know, that I was waiting for it. And yet, when you gain it, it's something you don't ever want to give up.
Right.
And that's the whole idea. You know, we think it comes through material things. You know, well, if I could only have $1 million, that ain't going to do it. I hate to say it, but that's going to make it worse. You know,
sure.
The whole idea is that to get to where you need to be very, very, very soon, so say the Holy Trinity, the Christ Jesus, you know, that you're there. The fields are white with harvest. I mean, and there is not much time. I mean, we are there. And the signs are in the heavens. You know, it's interesting to me, Sandy, that, you know, when I was a kid, the cattle laid under the tree, you know, in the grass, during the day, it was probably going to rain. Even if there's only one tree in the field, they'd find that tree and lay there. And they'd say, oh, it's going to rain. Or if the leaves turned around upside down to get the rain on the bottom of the leaf, that, oh, it's going to rain. And they called those old wives' tales. Now, I haven't researched where that and why that term was used. But, you know, we looked at the signs, and believe it or not, even to this day and age, we sometimes use, you know, those sayings. I mean, there's a storm coming. We look at the sky and go, oh, well, there's a storm coming, and we have a sign for it. And we grew up with those, and those are okay. But we stopped. Mm-hmm. We went with something that has been in the families, you know, generational for a very long time. And yet we don't look at what is before us. I mean, it's amazing to me. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I use that a lot. Because it's an affirmation that's saying who I trust in. How often do we say, you know, I know in whom I believe and I trust in God because He is my refuge and my fortress. Mm-hmm. And it also says, nor for the arrow that flieth by day shall I be afraid or terror by night. The arrow that flieth through the day is a cosmic energy. It happens to come through our sun between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And that is a time not recommended to be completely out in the sun without a hat on or something, because there's an extreme amount of radiation, and it's not necessarily the time, you know, to try and be quiet, because it is arrows that are flung, and they are literally, you know, I mean, David calls them, you know, the arrows by day. It says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, what's that saying? It's telling you that your eyes, when you look with your eyes, it's typically the last thing or the last part of the physical body or consciousness that you want to really believe. I mean, or use as your guide, because it's whatever it sees it wants. Especially if it's something, you know, it could really use. But it says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's telling you that, yeah, you're going to see that the people who are not aligned with God, seems like they're the ones that always get the good stuff. You know, they're getting new cars and Lamborghinis and, you know, they're making $200,000 a year, you know, and they come out of nowhere. And, you know, what they're doing for it, you know, they could be flipping burgers at Burger King. You know, it's not because they're any smarter. And it's that you'll see, if you behold it, the reward of the wicked, and watch the individuals. And you will see that they don't run out and give that 10% to the church right away, even no matter how much they're making. Remember, the widow put all she had in the plate. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, He said, see her? I tell you this, that you put 10% in of what you make, but what she put in is greater still than anything that you have ever put in that plate. I mean, it tells you the signs to look for. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come upon thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. If you remember, the devil used those words, used that scripture when he was tempting Jesus in the desert. The devil knows the book. The devil knows the scriptures. I mean, he'll use them every time, you know, to get your attention. I mean, I better listen to him because, you know, he just gave me a scripture. I mean, he couldn't be bad, right? Yes. You know, he uses those tricks. And it's up to you to learn to discern. How you do that? Be still and know that I am God. Use the sacred names of God. Sing the hymns. Everybody, it is necessary to sing a hymn or a part of a hymn or something that has a sacred sound to it every day. You breathe through the nose because God breathed through the nostrils and man became a living soul. Breathe through the nostrils and then breathe out as you sing the song. And it realigns the central nervous system, especially the part of it that goes through the brain. There's just so many, you know, that because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Do you know the name? You see, there is a name and we're not just given it. And yet you can't even get into heaven without it. And we think that, what is that name? Well, God, Jehovah, you know, Yahweh, many names, but there's one name. One name that is a frequency and vibration that when you reach it, God will change your name. He did with Abraham. He did with all of the earlier prophets. He changed their name. And what is the difference in the sound of Abram or Abraham? Just say it. Abraham. Number one, it's a trinity in syllables, but it's also Abram or Abraham. And, you know, it changes because we change. You know, we will not keep the name we have. We will have it changed. And it will, that alone will lift us up. I mean, I ask every day, tell me what the name is, you know, and I'll go have it changed. I hear people whose mothers must have been very angry when they were born because the name they gave them, you know, I mean, it just, I don't know. It just makes me ponder, you know, why in the world would you give the kid that name? And yet, you know, how important is a name? How important is it to trust in God? The majority of the Psalms are written in third person. And as the psalmist speaks about God, God's voice comes through in verse 10, which I just gave to you. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted upon them among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So you see, it's also giving you something to see, you know, not just that be still and know that I am God. It is that I will be exalted among the nations, but it'll be too late. You know, exalting is not enough. You had to have walked the path. You have to have went out there and done what was hard to do. Because that's how you show God you really love him. Not because you say so. Not because you maybe even want to feel it in your heart. The way you show God that you love him is that you do whatever it takes to bring that love, that feeling, that response, that receptiveness to someone else and give them the opportunity to receive it. They can choose not to, but at least you give them the opportunity. If you walk away or if you back away from saying it because, well, I'm not sure this person, I don't think will, you know, like me saying something scriptural. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, if you don't, you may have to take on that individual's issues. The idea is, you know, you have to say it. And the biggest thing is give God the glory. Give God the glory every day. Somebody says, man, you look good today. You know, are you losing weight and your hair looks nice? To God be the glory. That's my response always. Because I want God to get the glory for everything. And God should get the glory for everything because he can cause a war to stop. He can cause your home from being blown away in a hurricane. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Goodness gracious. What more, you know, do we need to have to ask about? You know, when you see the clouds rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it turns out. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? You know, we are turning away. We don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. You know, well, maybe it will. I'll tell you what, wait and see what happens. Really? That'll be too late. You know, I mean, the signs are happening. I could tell you signs that would blow your mind that Sandy and I have experienced. And we see them for what they are, and we're gracious and gratified with gratitude and love for God because he's showing us things along the way. And, you know, all you have to do is, again, sing a song every day. You should not let a day go by that you don't sing something. And put the Psalms to your own music in your head and sing them out loud. You know, if you sing a song, somebody will ask you, what are you singing? You know, and that gives you the in. Or, you know, there are 1,000 different ways that you could do something, whisper something to someone, and you'll find that everybody around you is trying to hear what you're saying. There's your receptiveness. You know, there are ways you know. And, you know, when we fail to do that, we fail to give someone the chance to hear, give God the glory. I mean, wow. I mean, we have denied him, just like the disciples did the night of the crucifixion. You know, when blood drops of sweat and blood, you know, ran down his face because he was alone. And no one should ever have to be alone with 6.5 billion people on the planet. He said, that's what the Holy Trinity said. It wasn't actually 7 billion, it was 6.5. You know, they don't leave us just with the 7 billion. Ah, what's the difference? No, they give us it as 6.5. Why? Because they're about truth. Are you about truth? Do you give truth? Is that what you're living for, is to give the truth of God and his glory to everybody that you know? I mean, it's necessary.
Absolutely, Jeff. Absolutely. And, you know, also, you know, it's an interesting thing when you're talking about peace inside yourself. Edgar Cayce quoted that just as each of us are a material manifestation of the creative forces in a material world, so too is every one of our fellows a part of God. And hence, as you do it unto the least of thy brethren, you do it unto thy maker. However you're treating others is how you're treating God. Your consciousness can never live peacefully with us. So, you know.
And you know, it's true. I mean, how many people I have asked, you know, if a catastrophe happened, would you, you know, help, you know, give out extra food that you've put away for just a problem like that? Well, I think it's a lack of faith if you prepare. Really, personally, if you prepare and nothing happens, you got some extra food. But if it does happen, then you're prepared. There's no, you know, nothing at variance there. I mean, it's true. I mean, prepare. But how many people are willing to give to someone they don't even know?
I know.
I mean, or how many people do they turn away because of the color of their skin or because of, you know, where they're from or whatever it may be? You know, well, you may be a West Virginian, but you're not from this county. Come on. I mean, if we don't get over that, you know, you're going to see a whole county miss out on, you know, the raising just above the, you know, frequencies. I mean, we've got to let go of that old deal. You know, we don't even know where it comes from. You ask somebody, oh, I don't know, I got a great-great-grandfather or something. You know, I mean, how do you know he knew what he was talking about? Okay.
Well, we want to thank all the people who have been listening to our radio show, and we will be back in 2 weeks, and we hope that you will join us then.
And our Angel Talk, Sandy's Angel Talk at AOL.com. If you have any questions, please feel free to, you know, send us an email.
Thank you, and God bless.